I want to look at this idea of who is the Antichrist. And we're going to try to understand it according to the Scriptures. Now, there are many things that have caused false ideas. There's false doctrine. This is quite a tangled web, really. And the reason I kind of have chosen this topic is I saw some things lately in the news, on the internet and in newspapers and Dallas paper, concerning the mark of the beast. And some of this, as I say, is connected to, entangled in, this false doctrine of what the Bible actually teaches about these issues. Now, I even had someone ask me recently at a congregation, this was a Christian, they asked me, and this was someone that was probably in their 60s, should I be concerned about the mark of the beast? And someone else told me in the church that they love the Left Behind series, which is the movies and books that talk about premillennialism and the rapture, which are basically false doctrine. I was a little bit surprised that a Christian would be liking that book, maybe a purely entertainment value, but still it promotes so much false doctrine that I thought it would be interesting to look at this idea. Now, basically, the import of my lesson is to understand who is the Antichrist and to take this part out of this tangled web, because by understanding that, a lot of the other ideas will fall into place, such as the mark of the beast, which will be a subplot to this. And the newspaper article that I read recently, which was in the Dallas News, first time I saw it was in December 17th of 2012. And the headline was, "Judge to Force Girl to Have Mark of the Beast." And under that it said exactly what it talks about in the book of Revelation. So that caught my attention. Now I'm going to read this somewhat lengthy, but this will set the premise for us, and then we'll go from there. You can bear with me. The article goes this way. A ruling is expected in days from a federal court in the case of a student in Texas facing possible expulsion over her decision to contest a mandatory spy chip implemented by her school district, a system she and her family call the Mark of the Beast, spoken of in the Bible. The Rutherford Institute today requested an injunction before U.S. District Judge Orlando Garcia in San Antonio to prevent disciplinary action planned by the Northside Independent School District in San Antonio. The district's program, called the Student Locator Project, is to boost public funding for the district by increasing student attendance rates. The plan has some 4,200 students at John Jay High School and Jones Middle School wearing mandatory smart ID card badges embedded with an RFID, that's a radio frequency identification, RFID tracking chip, which allows school officials to track students at all times on campus. Rutherford today said the request for a preliminary injunction was taken under advisement, and a ruling is expected within days. A lower court's temporary restraining order has been maintained against the district, and officials say it remains in effect until the judge issues his decision. Now, Andrea Hernandez, the girl in question here, 15-year-old sophomore in a science and engineering magnet school housed in John Jay High School, has refused to wear a school-mandated RFID tracking badge based on religious objections. Both Andrea and her father, Stephen Hernandez, testified they believe the electronic system was a sign of the Antichrist, described in the New Testament book of Revelation. Hang on to those words. We're going to get back to that. They believe this electronic system was a sign of the Antichrist, described in the New Testament book of Revelation. According to San Antonio Express News, when asked by reporters who the Antichrist was, Stephen Hernandez replied, "In this case, Northside is the Antichrist." In an interview with NPR, Stephen Hernandez said his daughter has been adamant about not wearing the student tracking badges. And she says, "Daddy, I'm not going to do this." And I said, "Why aren't you going to do this, honey?" She says, "Dad, that is exactly what it talks about in the book of Revelation that you were teaching us about taking the mark of the beast. This is the exact same thing," he said. Revelation 13:17 describes a time when no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. I'm going to stop there. story's quite extensive, has some other details, but this will suffice. Notice that their point of contention is this electronic system, this RFID chip in their ID card that they're required to carry by the school, is a sign of the Antichrist described in the New Testament book of Revelation. Her dad had taught her that. That's why she responded to her dad. This is exactly what it talks about in the book of Revelation that you were teaching us about taking the mark of the beast. This is the exact same thing. And quoting Revelation 13:17 describes a time when no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now, here's some facts we need to get straight. As Christians, this is not difficult. This is very easy if we read the Bible. The Bible has it very clear. The problem is, with all those false doctrines, Hal Lindsey had it, late great planet Earth in the 70s, early 80s. The Left Behind series that is movies and books, 8 million plus publication, that some people like. These are false doctrines promoted by people that aren't telling the truth. I say that because the book is very obvious. The book of Revelation does not mention the Antichrist. That is the book that most people go to in eschatology, end times, teaching, doctrine. The Left Behind series manipulates the doctrine of the Bible, but it doesn't ever quote Revelation as the Antichrist, but it makes connections that aren't there. Now, this Left Behind series has several movies and books, The Rising, The Regime, The Rapture, Left Behind, Tribulation Force, Nicolay, Soul Harvest, Apollyon, Assassins, The Indwelling, The Mark, The Desecration, The Remnant, Armageddon, Glorious Appearing, Kingdom Come. You know, this is Tim LaHaye and Jerry B. Jenkins dealing with the Christian dispensationalist end times, pre-tribulation, premillennial, Christian eschatological viewpoint of the end of the world. Now, they have their opinions, their ideas. What is amazing about people who claim to understand and know this and write these books and prophesy about a future Antichrist? If you quote Revelation, you're quoting the wrong book. The Antichrist is not in the book of Revelation, period. Doesn't exist. It's not in there. It does talk about beasts, and that's where they're making their connection with the beast and false prophet and the mark of the beast. But to go back and to understand those things, which we don't have time for this morning because I'm going to focus on who is the Antichrist, you have to go back to the other prophecies of Daniel. And a friend of mine wrote a book about Armageddon, Saddam Hussein, you know, the end of all things. And he was interviewed by Oklahoma City television station when Saddam Hussein was first dealt with in the first Gulf War. Remember, there were two. Some of you are too young. There was a Gulf War dealing with Kuwait, and we bombed Iraq, and then we did it again the second time, of course, and that was his fall. But the first time, my friend wrote this book, that was the Antichrist. Saddam Hussein has been identified along with Ronald Reagan, other presidents, George W. Bush, Barack Obama, Hitler, Stalin, other prominent figures, even popes, have been identified as the future or present Antichrist. Now, my friend wrote a book, identified Saddam Hussein. Since there was a Gulf War, the news caught that title somehow on the internet because he had it there, and they went and visited him, interviewed him, and I think they found out very quickly. This was not what they thought it was. He had mixed Nostradamus with the Bible, and you can't do that. You shouldn't do that. Nostradamus is a false prophet. If any kind of prophet, he's not scriptural. You can't mix the Bible with any man-made prophecy. And what this man said about Saddam Hussein did not come to pass. And the Bible teaches in Deuteronomy, if someone claims to be a prophet and says they're speaking in the name of God and it doesn't come to pass, they're in trouble. Mark them. They're not someone to listen to. Simple as that. Anyway, his book went nowhere. He had to give it away. He couldn't sell it. But he's a friend of mine, a religious friend of mine who I've studied with, and we've gotten a few places on the Bible, but for him to write books about eschatology, end times, prophecy, using the book of Daniel and saying that's future. No, the book of Daniel has already happened. It happened when Christ came. If you look at Daniel, chapter 2, chapter 7, all the way through the end of the book, all those prophecies are talking about the first coming, not the second. But that aside, We want to focus on who is the Antichrist, because we hear about the Battle of Armageddon, the number 666, the word Antichrist. You know, that sends a chill up a lot of people's spines because they've heard so many scary things about this. It conjures up dramatic images of end time, of the world and Holocaust, images including fire, mass destruction. The devil is involved in this, and he's taking political control of the world, sometimes through the United Nations, they say, and they speculate over and over, writing books, movies about who the Antichrist is. And as we mentioned, they included U.S. presidents and other world leaders as that evil man. But the problem is this: the word Antichrist is found in the Bible. It's just not found once in the book of Revelation. Now, I have up here 1 John 2:18 through 29. I'd like to read that, and then we'll get on with some other ideas here. 1 John 2, beginning with verse 18 through 29. And on the left, I have four verses. A biblical fact is that's the only verses that you'll read the word Antichrist. Four verses in the Bible. Four places. That's where the Antichrist is. The word Antichrist. We're going to notice some interesting facts about the Antichrist, opposite of what you might have heard or what the world teaches, because they simply haven't taken the Bible as the Bible demands it be taken, as God's word. You can't handle it deceitfully for money or any other reason other than realizing this is a holy book, this is God's word. It has to be carefully and aright, as the King James says, to handle it in a proper way. Well, 1 John chapter 2, beginning with verse 18 through the end of the chapter. Little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now, there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, that denieth the Father and Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone doeth righteousness is born of him. Now, this context of John here is telling us that there is an Antichrist to come at some future point, because they already existed. It's a common term, a generic term, Antichrist, that he's talking about. And as I said, the word Antichrist is found in the Bible, but this is where the Bible parts separate way with premillennialists. The rhetoric regarding the Antichrist is too familiar. The average person has been misled to believe that the book of Revelation talks about nothing else but the Antichrist. Problem is, that word is not found once in that book. Now, that should raise a warning flag to anyone that reads the Bible. The word Antichrist is only found in these four passages, all written by the Apostle John within the first books, the first and second John, within those books. Well, what does the Bible have to say about the Antichrist? Well, we want to look at a little word study, and we'll have an idea, a better idea, if we don't understand it already, why this word is being used. Now, just basically reading the scriptures for yourselves is all you have to have a clear understanding about the Antichrist. Just reading these scriptures, it'll eliminate a lot of false teaching, a lot of false ideas. The first Bible passage, 1 John 2:18 and 19. Children, it is the last hour. And just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now, many Antichrists have risen. From this we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not really of us, for if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out in order that it might be shown that they were not all of us. This last time refers back to Peter in the first gospel lesson, Acts chapter 2, beginning of the church. It's the last days. It's the prophet Joel talked about it, he said. The prophecy is being fulfilled. It's the last time, the last days. It was part of that dispensation that the Jewish law, the temple, all of that was ceasing, according to Matthew 24, that Jesus said the stones of this temple would be cast down and destroyed. He's talking about governments. Daniel was talking about the prophecy of governments. The fourth kingdom was Rome. The time that Christ came, the time was fulfilled. It was the fullness of time when Christ was born. He came in the flesh. He was God, the Son of God, the only begotten, virgin birth. He came, and that's the time he's talking about. That dispensation, the new beginning of the church, the new covenant, the New Testament, it was the last days of the Jewish system. And that's what Daniel was talking about, that fourth king, that would be when the time of the church, the kingdom of Christ set up, the eternal kingdom, thousand-year reign began on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. The last days that Peter talks about, the same thing John's referring to. He says the last hour. You heard Antichrist is coming. Even now many Antichrists have arisen. So as a biblical fact, Antichrist existed then. 1 John chapter 2, 22 and 23. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. So we know who an Antichrist is. Anyone who denies, an atheist, is an Antichrist. A religion that doesn't teach as the Bible teaches about Christ is Antichrist. 1 John chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. The fourth reference, 2 John 1 and 7, the last one. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the Antichrist. That's the only places the Bible talks about the Antichrist. That's it. Very simple. Generic term talking about someone who's anti. So from the Bible, we can see these facts. First of all, the Antichrist is defined as anyone who doesn't believe Jesus is the divine Son of God. That's a whole lot of people. There are a whole lot of Antichrists existing then, and they exist today. It's not one future man. The Bible doesn't teach that. It never has, and I'll show you why. Secondly, antichrists appear to actively teach against Christ. That's a fact. Thirdly, there were many antichrists in the world when John wrote. So these three facts, this directly contradicts the teaching of modern speculationists who say that one antichrist will arise at some time, still future. They're still waiting, still watching. It's amazing to me that people who claim to read the Bible can have such an idea. The Greek word from our English word antichrist is translated is a very simple to understand word. It's a simple compound word, means anti plus Christ. Antichrist. The same word, compound word we use every day. People who are anti-smoking, anti-hunting, anti-Semitic, anti-abortion. There's no big mystery as to what this word means. Antichrist is simply anyone who opposes Christ. John made that clear. Now we want to take a test to see if we know any antichrists. Does someone you know actively teach or simply believe that Jesus Christ never walked on the earth but was a mythological figure? They're an antichrist, according to Scripture. Do you know anyone who actively teaches, simply believes there was a man named Jesus Christ, but he did not raise from the dead? He was not resurrected. An antichrist, according to the Scripture. Does anyone you know actively speak out against or simply believe Christianity is a false religion? They're antichrist. Jesus said in Matthew 12:30, he who is not with me is against me. He who does not gather with me scatters. Well, that's a broad net that Jesus himself casts. says, you can't just find a loophole. You're either with me or against me. You either obey the gospel or you deny it. You ignore it, don't want to know about it. He's going to judge that person. In the meantime, they're antichrist. Jesus said, he who is not with me is against me. He who does not gather with me scatters. Matthew 12:30. Now, do you know any atheist, agnostic, who's indifferent, non-religious? According to the definition of John, they're antichrist. So the Bible term antichrist simply is to be understood equivalent to being a non-believer. That's what an antichrist means, a non-believer. So it's not about someone who's coming, who's some charismatic person who's going to cause peace in the Middle East, who's going to be swaying everyone with his good looks. The Bible doesn't teach anything like that. He doesn't have horns or glowing red eyes. He's not some demon-possessed, super-intelligent human clone, charismatic person or man, supercomputer, new technology, nanotechnology, or microchip. None of that is expressed by the Bible in any way. The Antichrist can be and is anyone who openly teaches Jesus was just the myth. So who's the Antichrist? According to what they teach, what the Bible teaches, well, you know, their opinions are the devil taking political control of the world through United Nations, future U.S. president, supernatural being, demon-possessed, super-intelligent man, genetically engineered, a superhuman. The problem is, the Bible doesn't teach any of that. We have the facts. The word Antichrist is only found 4 times in the Bible. We've given those passages. The word Antichrist is not found once in the book of Revelation that they try to connect it to. Yes, there are beasts there. There are 2 beasts in the book of Revelation 13. The beasts talk about Rome. If you remember at the first part of Revelation, that book, which is so difficult and scary to so many people, you know, I used to read it trying to think, are there some hidden meanings here? This is before I was a Christian. Because my friends would tell me it's such a mysterious book. When I read it, I noticed something about it. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the unveiling, the uncovering, the making known of something concerning Jesus. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show his servants things which must shortly come to pass. Some things were going to happen very quickly, shortly, in their day and time. And he sent and signified by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God, testimony of Jesus Christ, of all the things he saw. Verse 3, very important verse, at the beginning of that book. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written, for the time is at hand. Whatever happened in the book of Revelation pretty much has happened. The Roman government, that all those prophecies talk about, that fourth kingdom was the Roman government, Daniel talked about. Nebuchadnezzar was a beast. Revelation talks about beasts. There's something strange there. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar had to become like a beast. He was eating grass like a beast. He was a man. But the Bible uses figurative language. Remember, when you read the Bible, it's always literal until you're forced to take it figurative. If it contradicts anything else, it's figurative in the Bible. It's literal until that point. If it won't work, it's figurative. Revelation is very figurative, symbolic. It's written in code to help those people to go through what they were going through so that other people wouldn't pick it up and say, well, this is against the Roman government. They missed it. The Roman government, those religious patriarchs of that day read it, said, we don't see anything here against Caesar. The beasts in Revelation that came up out of the earth, the beast that came up out of the earth and the one that came out of the sea, talks about the government of Rome and the religious power that Rome, the government, gave to apostates, people who left the church that John just said, they came from us. They tried to carry the Jewish system, carry it on into another system, the Roman Catholic Church. You ever notice the symbolism? The temple, it was gone, destroyed, they tried to set up a temple. The priesthood, gone, they tried to set up a priesthood. It goes on and on. Incense? Altars? What's that correlation? The Bible said that stuff ended. John says they're against Christ. Christ taught something. They're teaching something different. There's 2 beasts, one from the sea, one from the land. He's talking about the Roman government, talking about masses of people. secular government and religion mixed together, when you have that hybrid, you have those two beasts. Revelation chapter 12 talked about the man-child, Christ, how he's protected by the church in Jerusalem for a while until Christianity could get its legs and take off and exist under this persecution. And it did. And that's what it talks about, Revelation 12, 13, and 14. Nothing about the Antichrist, because John said who they were. So these four passages, the word Antichrist is found only in these four, and I'll sum this up. It's not found once in the book of Revelation, only penned by the Apostle John, all the passages concerning Antichrist. It's only found 1 John, 2 John. What's it mean? It means anti-Christ. Something against, opposed, defiant, challenging. We gave some examples, and we read some of the scriptures. Now, if we have some questions based on those scriptures, who is the Antichrist? Let's let John answer, 1 John 2:18 and 19. Who's the Antichrist, John? Children, it's the last hour, and just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now, many Antichrists have arisen. We know that this is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not really of us, for if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out in order that it might be shown that they're not all of us. When did John write that book? AD 85. Had the Antichrist come yet? He said yes. There were many of them. Not one, many. Even now, many Antichrists have arisen. 1 John 2:18 and 19. Question: is one Antichrist going to arise, or many, according to the Bible? 1 John chapter 2 answers that, 22-23. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist. The one who denies the Father and Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. One or many? The Bible says many. Not one. Never been one singular Antichrist. Ever. That's against the Bible. Question: does the Bible, who does the Bible identify as Antichrist? It cannot be the devil. Because James 2:19 says, you believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. He knows God. He believes in God. He just doesn't trust, put any confidence in God's will. He has his own will. He knows God. Satan exists, but he's not Antichrist. He tried to kill Christ, but it didn't happen. Prophecy, Genesis 3:16 said that Christ would crush his head. He would injure Christ's heel. That was the cross, but Jesus overcame death. So it's not the devil. The devil already knows he's the Christ. He believes in Christ more than many Christians. He has firsthand knowledge. He shudders because he knows his destruction's near. Who is the Antichrist according to 1 John 2, 22-23? John says, who is the liar but the one who denies Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and Son. 1 John 4, 2 and 3, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Every spirit does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. So who does the Bible identify as the Antichrist? These are facts. Look at 1 John 4, 2 and 3. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit confesses Jesus Christ come in the flesh. Every spirit does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist. It's already in the world, John said. So when does the Bible say the Antichrist will arise? I know these are redundant, but it's proving a fact that the Bible says. You can't get around it. When does the Bible say the Antichrist will arise? 2 John 1:7. For many deceivers have gone out in the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the Antichrist. So who does the Bible identify as the Antichrist? Many deceivers. They've already gone out in the world in John's time. When does the Bible say the Antichrist will arise? Well, John said it was the last hour. They've already arisen. We know it was the last hour. They went out from the church. They were Christians who apostatized. Who is the liar? The one who denies Jesus by their teaching, by their action. This is how you know the Spirit of God, those who confess God. If a person won't confess Christ, they're Antichrist. Many deceivers have gone out in the world, he said, 2 John 1 and 7. So here's a summary of the Bible facts. When will the Antichrist arise? He said, even now, before 100 AD, 1 John 2:18, it already happened. Now it's already in the world, 1 John 4:3. That was 2,000 years ago. Deceivers have gone out in the world, 2 John 1:7. How many antichrists will arise? Notice, antichrist is always plural in all these passages. 1 John 2:18, many antichrists. 1 John 2:19, they went out. 1 John 2:19, they all. 2 John 1:7, many deceivers. 2 John 1:7, those. Who's the antichrist? The one who denies Jesus, 1 John 2:22. Whoever denies, 1 John 2:22. Whoever will not confess, 1 John 2:23. The liar, 1 John 2:22. Every spirit that doesn't confess, 1 John 4:2. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus Christ, 1 John 4:3. Those who do not acknowledge Jesus coming in the flesh. And that's 2 John 1 and 7. So those are the facts. There are many. They went out. They all, many deceivers and those. The Bible teaches it very clearly. It's not in the book of Revelation at all. But they've tangled it up. And when they do that, they misconstrue the teaching of the Bible, the truth. But what happened in closing with that judge? Well, he did rule. I found the story. The judge finally rules on the mark of the beast. Federal judge in Texas issued a ruling that a student's religious objections to wearing a badge from a school ID program utilizing radio chips to identify students and facility and faculty and monitor their movements are secular, therefore not a concern to the school or court. Plaintiff's objection to wearing the smart ID badge without the chip is clearly a secular choice rather than a religious choice, wrote U.S. District Judge Orlando Garcia. Now, the court record shows the Hernandez family felt the chip in the badge was the mark of the beast. They had a religious objection, tracking of his daughter. Mr. Hernandez also believed the card prohibited his daughter's rights as a student, the judge wrote. The family also objected to a deception suggested by the school that Andrea instead wear a badge like the other students, but without a chip, because that would make it appear the family was part of the chip ID program. Predicated on our religious beliefs, we cannot allow it to even appear that we support the program. Revelation 13, 16, 17. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, that no one may buy or sell except the one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. That was the family's response. And of course it goes on. But the judge gave her a choice. Either you wear the badge or you go back to another secular school that you came from, because that's the program. You can put the badge up. It stops monitoring you when you put the badge away from you. I mean, it's a religious thing they had a problem with. That's legitimate, except it's not based on scriptural reason. There is no mark of the beast that we have to be afraid of. There is no antichrist that we're looking forward to that we shudder at the idea that this man's going to come on the scene and cause world peace. All those prophecies concerning Jerusalem, the land promises, fulfilled. Jesus said it's finished, and he meant that. Those have been fulfilled. Are the Jews God's people? Only if they obey God. Doesn't matter what race, what gender, the Bible teaches that. Doesn't matter who you are. If you disobey God, how can you still be his child? Remember John the Baptist, when he was baptizing, he told God's people to their face, don't come here thinking within yourselves, we're sons of Abraham, that you're already saved. Bring forth fruits meet for repentance, John told the Israelites, because they came there pompously saying, we're already saved, so we're going to be baptized. Same thing some people teach today. I'm already saved, so I can be baptized. That's what it's for. John said no. That's why he wouldn't even baptize Jesus. Jesus said, suffer it, allow it to be so now. Even though he had no sins, he did it to set the example. It seems like God knew we needed an example because we couldn't understand that it was written, so he showed us also. Baptism is for the remission of sins. That's what the Bible teaches. And I think it was Johnny Elmore taught me one time when I was looking at some books at a bookstore. I said, Johnny, is this book any good? I called him up. He said, well, find out what that commentator teaches on Acts 2:38. If he teaches anything other than baptism and remission of sins, probably everything else is going to be messed up. That's pretty good reasoning. If they can't take something simple that Jesus taught over and over, John the Baptist taught throughout the Bible, very simple, that a child could understand, but they want to tell you about the end of the world, be careful. Read the Bible first. then we'll see what they have to say. Otherwise, we'll get mixed up in that scandal, that guesswork, just like they are.